Alright, so I'm Maddie, obviously, and I'm here with your news and your inspiration. And it's currently March 18th right now, but here are the Division I college softball rankings as of right now, or not as of right now, as of March 5th, Florida State takes the top seed, UCLA is number 2, Oklahoma is 3, Florida is 4, and Alabama is 5. That is not as of right now. Those are the most recent rankings that I can find, but I'm sure UCLA has strengthened up. But yeah, so one of the things that I wanted to talk to you guys about today was about how a lot of people think that you can get into college just by just being a good player. But no, it's just not that easy. You can't not just be a good player and expect to make a Division I team. I've seen many good players not make a Division I team because they may be good, but they just don't try. And they have no passion for the game. But we're going to talk about my most recent post, which was 2 days ago. And I put, if you want to be D1, you have to be D1 in the classroom, D1 in the weight room, and D1 on the practice field. You can't just be a good player and go on a good team and expect that. You have to act mentally and physically D1 in the classroom, D1 in the weight room, and D1 on the practice field. I'm going to go ahead and explain what it means to be D1 in the classroom. You have to have good grades in order to be on a good team. You cannot go and expect to make a good team with C's, D's, and B minuses. You cannot do that. You have to have B pluses, A's, you have to have A pluses, you have to have good grades to make a team. You have to try hard, you have to act good in school. You cannot mess around with school. D1 in the weight room. You can't just mess around and not push yourself. Weight rooms and when you do your workouts and stuff, that's to make you better. If you're going to mess around, it's not going to get you anywhere. But if you actually try to push yourself and get better as an athlete and as a person in the weight room and when you're working out, you will progressively get better. And also, when you're just practicing around your living room, make sure that you're doing your dailies. Make sure that you're just try your hardest when you're working out or while you're in the weight room. Being D1 on the practice field means to try your hardest on the practice field, because I strongly believe that you play how you practice, and that you practice how you play. Because if you had a bad practice the next day, or if you had a bad practice and you goofed around and you didn't practice well, then the next day you're not going to have a good game. Because that practice was meant to prepare you for the game, okay? To be D1 on the practice field, you need to work hard. You need to make sure that you're getting done what you need to do. You need to make sure that you are listening to what the coaches are saying. And that you need to just make sure that you're aware that if you mess around and do bad at the practice and you are not trying to get better at that practice the next day or the next couple days later when you have a game, you're not gonna play good because you play how you practice. Alright, so this weekend I wanted to film some younger players, and my little sister Lexi, she plays on a team called Ohio Passion, and these little girls are very dedicated and they work so hard. And Lexi, she was a little shaky at the beginning of her hitting, but once everybody's giving her advice on what to do, she straightened out and was doing good. Somebody who stood out to be phenomenal, not just in the act of playing the game, but of also being a great person, is this little girl. She's our catcher. Her name's Addie, and she did phenomenal. I did a lot of things on her on my story on Instagram, and I did one video of her throwing down, and she is just great. Her attitude about everything is great. When the coach came over to her and said, "You're doing very well, and I'm glad you came to try out because you are doing phenomenal." And she said, "Thank you for putting me on your team to work hard." And I think that is one of the best responses that she could have had at that moment. She has such a joy and passion for the game, and it makes me so happy for her, because with that attitude, she's going to get far, and she is going to go far in this game of softball. All right, so now we're going to get into a little bit more of some tips, and I wanted to focus mainly on catching, and I just kind of wanted to focus on catching. Like I said, I am a catcher. And one of the biggest things that I have to remember is when I'm throwing down. I see someone attempting to steal second base, for example. And then I throw down, and then it has to bounce a couple times before it gets to second. That is a better situation to be put into than for you to throw the ball rainbow over the bag and the person covering the bag. That is just a bad situation to be put into, because sometimes your outfield isn't ready, and then that will just advance the player not only to second but to third as well. And it's better to let it bounce, and the second baseman or the shortstop, whoever's covering second, is able to field the ball and tag them. It's better. That's just better. That's just a better situation to be put into. And I know a lot of people want to focus on getting it there, but you're still getting it there. If you throw it over, you're not getting it there. You're getting it way past where it needs to be. That's just something to remember. Another tip is, a lot of people say you have to specifically block the ball. You have to do it this way. You have to do it that way. You have to do it a specific way. But nobody is going to be mad at you if you're in a game and then you block a ball that was really hard to block, but you blocked it the wrong way. Nobody's going to be mad. You kept the ball in front of you, and you were able to stop somebody stealing or stop somebody doing something. And that is the best thing. But I know there's a lot of coaches and there's a lot of parents who want you to do it specifically a way that they want you to do it. But just make sure that you keep the ball in front of you, and if you block it a weird way, but you still have the ball in front of you, that's the most important thing. Alright, so another thing for catchers is never forget your drop third. If you drop that ball, you need to pick it up as quick as you can and throw it to first, because we are not trying to advance runners in this game. We're trying to prevent them from getting to the other bases and preventing them to score. Another tip for catchers is to always remind yourself that you are the captain of the team and you run that field. You have to make sure that you're the one saying, "Two outs, ladies, one out, ladies. Come on, we need to get these last out." You need to be encouraging them. You need to make sure that they know how many there is. You need to make sure that they know what bag to cover. Let's say, plays at first, plays at home, plays at third, plays anywhere, ladies, two outs, you know? Bases loaded. You need to make sure that you're a good captain of that field. But you also need to know that they need to look out for themselves as well, and that sometimes you just need to focus in and look at what you're doing. Is there a girl on third going to steal home? Do you need to be ready for that play at home? Do you need to be ready to throw a ball to second because there's a runner on first? Do you need to prepare to throw a ball at third because there's a runner on second? You need to make sure that you're looking out for yourself as well as your teammates. Being a catcher is one of the hardest jobs, I think, because you have so many things to take into account. You have so many bags that you can throw to, so many people that you need to make sure that you're looking out for, as well as the people on the bases. So that's my catching thing of the week. I also play middle infield, and one of the mistakes that I see is when there's a play going on, middle infielders just tend, if they're not necessarily involved in the play, they're just standing around looking, watching the whole thing happen. There's something for every play. There's always something for you to be doing. You should never, in the midst of a play, just be standing there. There's something that you can do to prevent the runners advancing, to prevent some people getting home. There's always something that you can be doing, and you always need to be thinking about what you can do at that moment to help your teammates out. Okay? And one of the last things I wanted to cover was that there's a lot of pressure when it comes to any sport, because you have expectations that you want to meet, that your coaches have set for you. There's expectations that you've set for yourself. There's expectations from your teammates and from your parents, siblings, whoever. They have set expectations for you, and you have the want to meet them. But sometimes you just need to think, how am I able to do these? You might be like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But sometimes you just need to think, how am I supposed to do that? You need to set a plan, and you need to make sure that you'll be able to do those things. One of the hardest things is trying your best and trying the hardest to make a team or to get playing time, and then you don't end up getting it. And then you feel like you could have done more. You did something wrong. That's not always necessarily the truth. You worked hard, and the outcome was just not good. But that doesn't mean you should stop trying. It means that you should just continue to work hard, and eventually the hard work will pay off. And I know it's really hard to face the fact that you didn't make a team, but there's always a next time. There's always something to get better at to up your chances of making the team next time. And I just wanted to say that every single one of you guys, as athletes, as ball players, can reach your goals, your long-term and short-term goals. A short-term goal, an example of what that could be, as a catcher, getting your throwdowns to second. On the right side of the bag, make sure that whoever's covering can catch the ball. That can be a short-term goal, because that can be easily fixed and that can be achieved very easily. And a long-term goal, for example, for a catcher is to be a catcher on a Division I team. But that is something that you have to work years and years and years for. You can't just, let's say you are in your sophomore year of high school and you decide you want to play softball for whatever reason and you want to be on Division I. That's just not something that you can do. I'm sure it can happen, but ideally that's just an unrealistic goal. But if you have been playing ball and are exceeding and keep working hard, then that can be a long-term goal that is a reality. And you have to make sure that your goals are actually capable of being achieved. I know that's a hard reality for some of us to face, but you just have to do that. You have to make sure that they're achievable by the time you want them to be achieved, And yeah, because there's only so many years that you have until you go to college, and you just have to make the most of those years, and you have to work hard, and here's another thing. I know this is a long podcast, but here's another thing. You need to make sure you don't burn out. Don't try so hard to please every single person in your life, including you, that you just burn out and you have no passion for the game anymore, and it now it's just a thing that you have to do, and that's not something fun anymore, that it's something that you hate to do because you've just tried so hard at it and you just burn out of it. Make sure that you take breaks. I'm not saying take a month off. That's just going to hurt you. But I'm talking about taking a couple days to a week off, especially if you're feeling down about the sport or if you're feeling down about everything in general. If you're feeling tired and tired of everything going on, just make sure that you take a few days to calm down and make sure that you're in a good place of mind and your body is not hurting, obviously. There's such a thing as mental and physical burnout. So you just need to make sure you're not going into that, because that obviously will affect your goals. Because your goals might be different after you burn out. It might be, oh, I wanted to be a Division I softball player, but now I want to be a Division III because I'm so burnt out of this that I don't even care if I make a Division I team anymore. You don't want it to turn into that. So just make sure you don't burn out. And this has been a pretty long podcast. It's been almost 20 minutes long. So I'll see you again. Not see you, obviously. I'll talk to you again soon, and I'll have my stats more updated than I have them now, and I'll just get back to you guys when I have some more tips and stuff, and I won't always just do catching tips, obviously. I'll research some more positions and make sure that you guys keep up with my Instagram, because I'll post videos of my practices and my games, as well as teams that I go to look at and stuff. So yeah, so thank you guys for listening, and I hope you have got something out of this podcast. See you guys.